The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and in iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order. We're your hosts. I'm Duvall. That over there, who will be up and down all night, is the one and only Dave Draper.
What's left of him.
Yes, Dave is slowly wasting away and his body is giving out on him.
Yeah.
I fear that Dave is not long for this world, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know, man. It's been a rough couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been rough for poor Davey. But
I gotta check in with our friend Molly. She asked me to make sure to let her know every now and then that I'm still alive.
Oh yeah.
Well, I feel bad. I've been bad about responding to people because you all text when I'm like I try to steal a nap just at least once a day, and like it's always that's when everyone wants to text.
Oh yeah. Well, I text you on.
You texted me when I was walking, and that thing like went through 9-10 times.
Yeah,
it was obscene.
Yeah,
well, but what it was it was a two part. It was like split up, and it didn't get that second one forever.
Oh,
and finally,
the second one came through. Well, I had texted you the other day over the weekend about something, and Carrie and I were coming back from Waverly or somewhere, and I texted you about something, and I was waiting, and I kept checking my phone. I'm like. It's been almost an hour and he hasn't responded to me. I'm like, I'm a little worried. And she's like, well, if you don't hear from him in another hour, you'll have to go over there. And then you text back. And I was like, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. It was my greatest fear is you were dead on the floor and Ray was eating your flesh.
Yeah. No, she just jumped on my face and like ripped it open.
Yeah, boy, did she. Dave's got a nice, he's going to have a nice little scar above his eye for a while.
Yeah.
That's, her nails are
tiny
indeed.
Little puppy nails.
Are indeed the equivalent of Wolverine's adamantium claws.
Basically.
They are dangerous.
They are razor sharp.
Yeah, my God, they're scary. She come barreling at me when I come over, and she was just all super excited, puppy energy. And oh my God, I was like, okay, calm down. Ha, stop. No, ha, ha. No, no scratchy. No scratchy me. Oh, it's been an interesting week in movies, that's for sure.
Okay.
We got our first look at the animated Addams Family movie, as well as the entire cast, which is,
okay, okay.
That's
not from the movie? That's, because that looks like the old TV show.
That is the old TV show. They use that as the header, but, Oscar Isaac is going to be,
Gomez. That's good casting.
Charlize Theron is, Morticia.
Yeah.
Allison Janney will be her arch nemesis, Margot Nidler. Bette Midler will be Grandma. Chloe Grace Mortez is Wednesday. Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things is Pugsley. And Nick Kroll is going to be Uncle Fester, but it's a very CGI, very much Charles Adams.
Oh, yeah.
Classic Charles Adams look to it. My only problem is the director. The directors, and I believe the screenwriter, they wrote the Sausage Party. And that concerns me a little bit. But... I think, just from the look of it alone, I think it'll be a fine CGI film when it comes out. But the story behind it is the titular, yeah, Supernatural Clan faces off against a sly reality TV host played by Janney, while also preparing for their Addams-style extended family reunion. But it's going to cover the story of how Gomez and Morticia met, how they bought their house, how they ended up with the family, and all that stuff. So.
Okay.
Yeah. It would. It looks fun. That'll be on October 11th of next year.
All right.
So we got a little ways still. I think we talked about this earlier in the year, but there was an announcement at last year's Comic-Con that Noah Hawley, who is the showrunner of Legion, had a Doctor Doom film in the works. And he announced that the script is done. However, the film probably isn't going to be made anytime soon.
Because of the merger.
Yes. He said, I wrote a script that I really like, and the studio really likes. It needs a little work. But unfortunately, the project faces some major roadblocks. Holly's in the midst of preparing to shoot Pale Blue Dot, an astronaut drama starring Natalie Portman and John Hamm that apparently has faced its own set of hurdles. And he says it's
hard. Well, you cast Natalie Portman in a genre movie. That was your first mistake.
He says it's hard for me at this exact moment because I start shooting another movie in 5 weeks to do that work, Holly's told Vulture. So, I mean, my hope is to go back to the Doom movie after Pale Blue Dot. But the biggest roadblock may be out of Holly's and even Fox's hands as the impending deal with Disney and Fox. The movie rights to the Fantastic Four characters are up in the air, especially with Comcast poking around being assholes, trying to derail the deal because they think they can because they're mad.
We talked about this earlier before the show. I think the Comcast deal is all cash, which means there'll be a huge tax burden.
Yeah.
And there's a penalty involved if Fox backs out now.
They got to pay Disney a shit ton of
money. I wonder what the delta V between the taxes and the penalty and the extra money Comcast is ponying up, if it's really even worth it.
Yeah.
So,
but he goes on to say, I know there's a little uncertainty given the potential for a Disney merger and the fact that Marvel may regain control of the X-Men and Fantastic Four. They may even have a plan of their own in a desk drawer. I just don't know.
I bet they do.
So he says, I think there's a sort of a sense of uncertainty. And he goes on to say he hopes that the studio would like to make it, and he hopes that eventually they make it.
You going to talk about Silver and Black?
Yes, got canceled.
Got canceled. Yeah.
Silver and Black is not happening. And for those of you who don't know what Silver and Black is, it was the Black Cat, Silver Sable movie based in the Spider-Man universe.
Without Spider-Man.
Kind of like the Venom movie. Although apparently Peter Parker has a cameo, like Tom Holland is in that film.
Is he really?
Which is the worst kept secret of that movie, is that he has a little cameo that it's pre-Spider-Man.
Huh.
They're
pretty adamant that is not MCU.
Yeah, Silver and Black is no more. It's not happening. No more. They canceled that, which is probably smart if Sony and Marvel are still in talks of extending their cooperative deals. Sony probably doesn't want to stir the roost, especially with Disney possibly about to gain control of 20th Century Fox and just about all of their character rights back except for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
At this point, I think Sony's like, we still want in on this deal because it's a moneymaker for us.
Yeah.
Let's cancel these other projects that we had going on. Venom's already done. Can't do anything about that. Let's just cancel the other stuff and move on. So she's so adamant.
I know. She drank all the water before we created her. I'm constantly kind of looking over there to make sure she's okay.
She's silly. She's so sad. She's such a sad puppy, dog. Oh, poor baby. This week has been a week of movie trailers.
Yes, it has.
Yesterday started us off with the... was it yesterday?
I don't know anymore.
No, yesterday was Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Okay.
Ralph Breaks the Internet. That started us off this week, which was a fun trailer, which kind of... Disney was like, look, we can do the Emoji Movie, only better, and make it entertaining. And not make it just so...
To be fair, the Emoji Movie made money.
It did.
I hate to say that.
It did.
I hate that I live in a world where that is a phrase that is accurate.
I know the plot line between Wreck-It Ralph 2 is that... and you were asking, I thought Vanellope couldn't leave her game. Well, they fixed that at the end of the first film. Spoilers, for anyone who hasn't seen a movie that's now almost 6 years old.
I honestly don't remember. Because I thought the whole thing was her glitching made her special.
At the very...
And the bestest, most popular racer.
At the very end of it, after they beat all the cybugs, and they basically wheeled her over the finish line, if you remember, King Candy had screwed up all the code... And it locked like all the NPCs' memories and stuff away.
Yeah.
Well, what he had tried to do is he had tried to erase Vanellope from the game. And Ralph discovered towards the end of the movie that Vanellope was a part of the game because she's on the side art to the game. Because originally they all assumed she was just a glitch and was a bad part of code. And he discovers that King Candy basically tried to destroy her because, of course, it turns out he's Turbo.
Yeah.
And he took over the game. So when they... cross her over the finish line, the game resets. Like, it reboots the code, and it reveals that she actually is the main character of that game, and she's actually a princess.
Yeah.
So she was the princess of Sugar Rush the entire time. So yeah, she can leave her game now.
Okay.
But this film's plot involves something wrong with Sugar Rush, and they have to go online, like... to disc like The arcade gets the internet, and then something goes wrong with Sugar Crush, which is why in the trailer Vanellope's sleeping on Ralph's brick pile and not with her game.
It was a stump.
It's a stump. Sure. Yeah, it was a stump. I apologize. It was a stump on a brick pile.
Don't lie to our fans.
Well, it turns out her and Ralph have this idea to go into the internet to find the piece they need to fix the game and have it shipped to the arcade so the arcade can fix the machine before they get unplugged for good. So that's why they end up going to the internet and going on this adventure. And I think the internet stuff is a big part of the film, but I don't think it's the entire film. I think there's still stuff in the classic arcade and whatnot. So, because I know Fix-It is part of the movie, and Jane Lynch's character is part of the movie. So, and then today we started out this morning with the trailer for the Bumblebee film, the spinoff of Transformers.
Yeah, prequel.
It is a prequel.
That's two great things that go great together.
It takes place in the 80s.
Transformers movies and prequels.
And Dave was not thrilled. And I said, have you seen the Bumblebee trailer? And Dave went, no.
No.
And we sat here and watched it. And Dave, I could count it.
There was one moment.
Yeah, there was one moment that Dave went, oh, God damn it, Transformers.
Starscream shows up as Starscream. Like the original Starscream jet.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you bastards.
They did a good job with this, the look of this film, because it's still a Bayverse universe kind of film.
Yeah, I noticed that he's got like skin over all his
He does. Bits. They made Bumblebee looks Bumblebee, it's interesting, the designs for this film that we've seen just from the two characters we've seen, Starscream.
I didn't really get a good look at the robot mode.
And Bumblebee, the robot modes, while they are still very much that Bayverse film universe look, this Bumblebee, since he is a VW bug in this film, the transformation and the look is very much this great amalgam of G1 and Bayverse stuff. Like, it's done very well. And I think the crew going into this and the director going into this, that was their whole point, was to go, okay, well, people are so sick and tired of the Bayverse stuff, and yes, it's made us money, but why don't we try to, you know, because Bay was always like, oh, the G1 stuff would never work on the screen. Well, I beg to differ. I think it works wonderfully, because it's still identifiable as Bumblebee.
I think you modify it, but yeah. Like, my thing is, I feel like that chicken from Chicken Run, where it's like, G1 or Bay style? I'm like, are those my only options?
Yeah, those are my only options. It was a really well put together trailer. I've seen some people complain about it because of, I can't think of her name that's in it.
The girl?
Yeah, the girl that's in it. Because it is a very, it's obvious just from the trailer that, you know, girl finds the car turns out to be a transformer. It's almost like. It's the first movie, only better, I think. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, it looks like Bumblebee's been on Earth for a long time, of course. Starscream, obviously, so it is tied into that universe. But I liked the trailer. I thought it was well done. I know a lot of people that have decried the Bayverse stuff was very adamant about, oh my God, this makes me want to see a Transformers movie again. Like, the trailer had a feel-good vibe to it, that you're just like, okay, well, that's a Transformer movie. There's no crazy, you know, quick cuts and lots of blasts and can't tell what's going on. Like, it was very...
Are you saying that this movie will not have some sort of former A-list actor in an extended comic relief role that has nothing to do with anything?
As far as I know, no.
That wastes 30 minutes of screen time?
The only real, I guess, A-list actor in this is John Cena.
Wow.
And that's about it,
so
I think.
We're not going to have John Turturro doing his thing or John Malkovich? No.
Although, the trailer, there's a great... Haley Steinfeld is the name of the girl.
Sure.
The actress. Her name's Charlie in the film. But there is a great, like, throwback to the original Bay Transformers movie with the voiceover at the beginning of the trailer is... who was the black actor in that film? He's sadly passed away. He was the...
Tyrese?
No, he was the car dealer.
Bernie Mac.
The voiceover in the trailer talking about, you know, there's a bond between a man and a car.
Oh, yeah.
That's Bernie Mac's lines from Transformers. That's him reading those lines. So that was kind of a nice little throwback to that scene in the first film that ties it together. But Travis Knight, who is the director, he's best known for his work on stop motion animated movies at Laika. He was lead animator. He was the lead animator on films such as Coraline, Paranorman, The Box Trails, and he directed Kubo and the Two Strings. And Knight previously explained one of his goals with his movie was to capture the spirit of the first generation Transformer toys. He says, so what I was kind of trying to do with this film, because it's set in the 80s, was harken back to the great original G1 vibe and feeling and tone. So there's definitely Easter eggs for fans who are down for that sort of thing. There's a lot of continuity between this and the films that Bay has done, but this film will stand on its own. So that has me excited, because you know as well as I do, that last Transformers movie was...
I do not know as well as you do, because I would not, I could not bring myself to watch it.
I watched it, and it was just, it was terrible. Like, it was just so hard to sit through, and it was just like...
Like, the first one was kind of watchable, and then it just immediately went into terrible.
Yeah, it went downhill from there, sadly. And then we also got the first trailer for the Lego Movie 2, the second part, which does actually physically take place 5 years after the original film. Wild Style makes that clear
in the narration. I missed that line during the narration. Yeah, I mean, like, I got the idea that...
She's like, it's been 5 years since the horrors of Taco Tuesday. So, yeah, and it has, you know, it was 2014 when that film came out. So it'll be 2019 when this comes out. So, yeah, it'll be 5 years. The trailer... Lord and Miller wrote the first draft of the script. The BoJack Horseman creator, Raphael Bob Waksberg, came on board for a rewrite. And then Matt Fogel finished writing the last draft of the film. But Warner says the writing credits can't be determined yet. So,
That's always good.
I know. The director of Trolls, Mike Mitchell, has stepped into the director's chair. Honestly, the trailer seemed like it captured the vibe of the first film and setting us up for what is obviously going to be the Lego Friends universe. Yeah.
Because the little sister's now 5 years older. She's not playing with Lego Friends.
Yes.
The boy is probably now a teenager.
Yeah.
And isn't into Legos anymore.
Right.
I don't know what happened to the dad. Like,
that's a good question. Like
why did the dad? I mean, I can understand letting your... Well, first of all, the whole Horrors of Taco Tuesday 5 years later, it shows like this post-apocalyptic wasteland for the Lego world, for Brick.
Right.
And to me, that is exactly why I was on the dad side in that movie. Because the kids just destroyed his beautiful, lovely display.
And it's obvious the kids destroyed this because there's a scene where the Duplos are attacking.
We do get... Well, because they set that up at the end of the first movie.
Yeah. So it's obvious the Duplos have created this...
But I'm just surprised that the dad didn't, like, after they lost interest for a while, go, okay, time to rebuild.
Yeah.
So maybe he died.
Oh, that's...
Will Ferrell in the movie?
Can you
use your internet's witchcraft to...
I can. Let's see who the cast in Lego Movie 2 is. Oh, while I'm doing that, the Bill and Ted sequel has a start date of this coming January. So they will start filming...
Okay, that's...
They will start filming January 2019.
That seems a little too far away.
Eh.
Yeah, too much can happen between...
It has been greenlit, and it will apparently start shooting...
All right.
Soon.
I hope so.
I hope so too.
For your sake.
I know, right?
Yeah. Well, because I'm excited. I'm legitimately excited to see it. But like, you are like, this is a big deal for you, son.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So Chris Pratt is back as Emmett. Allison Brie is Unikitty. Stephanie Beatriz is the new character Sweet Mayhem. Elizabeth Banks is back as Wild Style. Channing Tatum's back as Superman. Will Arnett's back as Batman. Nick Offerman's back as Metalbeard. Jonah Hill's back as Green Lantern. Tiffany Haddish apparently is a voice in this. And that's it. They haven't... I doubt Will Ferrell's going to be back, because I'm pretty sure Lord Business is no more.
He didn't die.
No, but I'm sure he's no more. And then we got a trailer today for the really... kind of strange post-apocalypse film by Peter Jackson called Mortal Engines. It's based on the novel by author Philip Reeve, which makes me go, I guess I could probably kind of read this to get an idea of it.
Okay.
Basically, the idea is civilization, the world and civilization as we know it is gone. The rest of the remaining civilization has become mobile in these giant traction cities, which roam the wasteland, and they prey on each other for parts and supplies. And basically, it sounds like the king of all is London. And so we'll see what happens, but
That doesn't sound like Road Warrior at all.
No. it'll be interesting to see what happens. Like, I remember seeing the little teaser trailer and thinking, okay, well, it looks interesting. And then this trailer made me go, I got to see more before I can go.
It looks like a very generic plot. It does. It looks like just kind of your typical kind of Waterworld, Dishonored. It's the bad guy is going to get the MacGuffin, but the one girl can stop him.
Yeah, I know. It's like, womp, womp.
I wonder if she does.
So, for anyone excited about San Diego Comic-Con news and toys coming out, NECA has started... NECA has started to roll out... I think pretty much all the reveals are out. And they also all go... They also will have all been on sale by the time you hear this, as all the NECA exclusives went up for pre-order on June 6th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
So, but the items shown this year, Marvel Comics Guardians of the Galaxy Groot Chia Pet is one of the exclusives. It's a limited edition of 500, retails for $30. The Guillermo del Toro 8-inch cloth style action figure is $40 and limited edition of 2000. The Predator 30th anniversary 7-inch scale figure of Hawkins is retail $30, limited edition of 3000.
Need something, to get him so he can direct the new Predators. Yeah.
Something they announced after we stopped recording last week was they teased it and then officially announced it over the weekend, but it's the 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 7-inch figure box set, basically scaled down versions of the quarter scale figures that have been out. Those are retail for $125 and a limited edition of 5000, which is not a lot. And they're also doing a 1990 street scene diorama and action figure set. It's basically a big brick building, which they showed at Toy Fair, but it wasn't done. It was just kind of like, you know, they didn't reveal what it was for. But that will be a retail $250 and a limited edition of 2000.
Now, let me just say one thing real quick, because I know there was some grumbling about this in the group. And this has been like the third year in a row now they've done this. The whole thing is, they're just trying to squeak around the restrictions put on them by Playmates.
Yes,
and like, don't be mad at NECA.
Yeah,
be mad at Playmates and Nickelodeon. Well, not Nickelodeon, but because Playmates has the master license,
right?
So that Nickelodeon is when they're giving them whatever crumbs they're giving them.
Yeah, Playmates doesn't want any competition in the toy aisles with
and you know, I have the first set, the video game set. I can see why.
Yeah. Because they're remarkably well done.
They're really good, yeah.
I think these will be the must-have box set this year.
Oh, well, yeah.
Of,
I was going to say, out of the three, I would assume the Toon Turtles would be.
I would have loved to try to order these and get these, but $125 is just too steep for my wallet right now.
Yeah, I hear you on that.
They're beautiful figures. The quarter, the big 1/4 scale figures were amazing. And these are just, again, scaled-down versions of them, but without the cloth headband bits. They have little plug-in plastic headbands this time. But they look amazing. And, these are going to be the real must-have figures. And, of course, they come packaged in a giant recreation of the VHS box for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie, which is brilliant. Even down the logo for NECA is recreated in the old Family Home Entertainment logo.
They've done that before.
Yeah, they have done that before with like the Rambo line.
With the Nintendo stuff.
Yeah.
Or the video game figures. Yeah.
So it's pretty sweet. It's very cool line. And of course they come, you know, you get all four turtles, you get their weapons, you get extra bandana plugins, and an extra set of hands for each turtle. So quite a bit there for the $125 price.
Yeah, it's...
But, you know, they're going to go quick, and they're probably already sold out by the time you hear this. They're probably gone. Meanwhile, the diorama set, while cool, I know that it's got a fully usable front as well as backside, because I know you can put the figures in the windows, as evidenced by Mikey poking his head through the window in one of the pictures. It's cool, but eh.
Yeah, I don't know if that's $200 cool.
Yeah, I don't know if it's $200 cool, but it's neat. It's 2 feet wide, 18 inches tall, and well over a foot deep. So good luck finding display space for that.
Yeah.
And you can display up to 30 figures at once. So, but if I had to guess, since we're getting the movie Turtles this year, if I had to guess, at New York Comic Con, their Turtle exclusive is probably going to be the movie villains. If I had to guess.
Yeah, I was surprised we didn't get that.
So probably Shredder, Tatsu. Probably Shredder, Tatsu, a foot soldier, and maybe Casey Jones. But that's
have,
just...
He wasn't a villain.
No, but he would fit fine into that box. And then also, we get we got first looks from NECA at the Friday the 13th Ultimate Part 5 Dream Sequence figure. It's basically Jason Voorhees. He comes with a bunch of different heads with the hockey masks on, weapons, an ice pick, a bloodied axe.
It's ironic because Jason wasn't in that one.
I know. An extra hand that you can put coming up out of the grave, a gravestone. Basically, these are the Jasons that appear to Tommy.
Yeah, in his dreams. Yeah. That's what, hence dream sequence. Yeah,
exactly. Because, yeah, he's not in this movie
at all. He was dead until part six.
Yeah. So that will be hitting... That'll actually be hitting stores.
It was the ambulance driver. Spoiler alert.
Yes, it was. And then we also got a better look at the Ultimate Gremlin 7-inch scale figure, which he comes with some fun accessories. He comes with popcorn bags you can put over his ears.
Yeah.
Which are kind of cute.
Yeah.
A set of playing cards. A thing of Brad Bites, which is Skittles, basically. A doodah bar, which is basically Milky Way. A thing of cola, a cigarette, and a mug of beer. So that'll be October, and it'll be about $27. So that's kind of interesting.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, kind of fun.
I don't know where I would buy that now.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Gentle Giant showed off one of their San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. The first one of this year, which is the Star Wars Return of the Jedi Boba Fett jumbo figure. For anyone still buying those damn things.
I assume it's just the card is different.
Yeah, it's just a different card, but yeah, the figure's already been out.
That's the one that I have.
Yeah, is that Boba Fett?
Yeah, well, I have that that card.
Yes, yes, yes. So that'll be, I'm sure General Giant will release a bunch of exclusives, but I don't know who's still buying these jumbo figures. They're not. Like, I noticed the G.I. Joe line went nowhere because no one bought them because they were like...
They made the mistake that they went with all the early characters that weren't necessarily as popular.
Yeah. They went with that first series and...
Yeah.
Sadly, nobody really wanted anyone but Snake Eyes. We also got some Hot Toys stuff. Surprise, surprise. Another Han Solo figure. This time the Solo Star Wars Story 1/6 scale Han Solo in the Mud Trooper outfit. So,
yeah.
Yay?
Yeah.
I guess.
I don't know that it's been Hot Toys money on it.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I'd buy the Hasbro figure if they made one.
If they made one. But that looks like it'll be out second or third quarter of next year. So, Christmas of next year, probably. We got some Hasbro news. Pictures have started to leak of the Marvel Legends 2-pack for Killmonger and... Agent Frodo.
Yeah, Bilbo.
Bilbo, yeah. Matt, no, what is this? What is his real name?
I don't even remember.
Oh, God. I can't think of his name. We're old.
I'm so tired.
We're old. But anyway, the two-pack, the pictures of the two-pack have started to show up. And have we got pictures of those earlier this year from Toy Fair.
Yeah.
No one was quite sure where they were coming from or when they were going to come out. But it turns out that they are actually a Target exclusive.
Boo.
And it also showed that it's you'll only need two two-packs to do this Build-A-Figure. But the Build-A-Figure for these two two-packs is none other than the Excelsior one himself, Stan Lee.
That must have been changed, because I thought originally it was like all 10 figures. I think they changed that plan after Toys R Us went.
I think they did too, honestly. I think they were like, oh, we can't do that at all. That's not good. But it was... I just cannot think of his name.
Everett something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Everett. I think Agent Everett or something. But they're
the white guy.
Yeah, the white guy. You know, the white British guy who was doing
the white guy in Black Panther.
Yes, yes, yes. Woof, woof.
So what's the other set that you need
the
for Stan Lee?
The other set, that's February.
Keep in mind the fact that it's a Target exclusive makes me want to vomit.
Yes. The other one is Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Yeah, Eric Killmonger and Everett Ross is the first two pack.
Ross.
And that includes Stan's legs and feet. And then Falcon and Winter Soldier is his upper body and head.
Oh, well.
So, yes, originally you needed all 10 10th anniversary 10 packs or packs
yeah.
to complete Stan Lee. But yes, that has since changed since they were like, oh no. Oh no, we can't do this. And then we also got to look at the Marvel Legends, the full Venom Legends lineup.
All right.
So, of course, Spider-Ham is in that line. So we get...
that one I may have to buy.
Yeah, we get Venom, Spider-Ham, Carnage, Scream, Typhoid Mary, Poison, and then a Build-A-Figure Monster Venom, which I'm guessing is...
As opposed to Happy Cuddly Venom.
Which is the giant, bulky Venom figure.
Yeah.
And then the regular Venom is just... He's got an extra head, and he's got.
God,
some...
they already did that figure.
Yeah, I know.
I think even with the Eddie Brock head.
And then the Carnage figure has.
Pretty sure they did Carnage.
Yeah, but did they do that?
I don't think they had the Cletus Cassidy head.
Yeah, the Cletus Cassidy head, I think, is new for that. And then.
Is that Anti Venom?
That's Anti Venom. Scream, which actually looks really cool.
I guess.
Spider Ham, of course.
Spider Ham.
Typhoid Mary's cool. Yeah, so those should be hitting probably any time now. This fall, they say, but I imagine with Marvel, it'll be basically any time. Hasbro also showed off their first San Diego Comic-Con 2018 exclusive that I'm aware of, which is the Star Wars 3¾-inch set for Dr. Aphra, which I have no connection to that figure. I don't know who the hell she is.
She's a character from the comics.
Oh, okay.
She was a side character in the Darth Vader comic and became popular enough to spin off.
Mm.
And then her two robots are like psychopaths.
000 and BT-1?
Yeah, they're like psychopathic murderers.
Oh, interesting.
Well, she's a bad guy.
Oh, okay.
She's like a sort of a girl Belloc.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Like who was working for Darth Vader.
And they are packaged in a together
old,
a vintage.
The old school vintage three-pack.
Three-pack, which is kind of cool.
It's a set I'm probably going to have to pick up on eBay somewhere.
Yep, $50, so eBay prices are probably going to be $70.
$100.
Yeah, probably, which is sad. Boss Fight showed off some more pictures of the Bucky O'Hare 4-inch Storm Toad Trooper. I don't know why I said all that like that. That was crazy.
I don't know. I wish I liked Bucky O'Hare more.
I know.
Because they do just a spectacular job. Yeah.
He comes with the Toad Flim Laser Rifle, the Bayonet, the Laser Pistol Removable Helmet, two different heads, multiple hands, and a cap. So... actually get a ton of stuff for that figure.
Yeah, you get a crap ton.
And he's a troop builder, so of course you could buy a bunch of them and create a toned army, which is, I think, what most will do. But he's cool looking. Yeah, again,
he's a great toy. Yeah. I just don't have that connection.
Yeah, I do, but I don't have the money. Funko shut off some new 8-bit pops, this time from Altered Beast, the classic Sega Master System game.
Sure.
Which is the werewolf. The two different colored werewolves, I think, are the only ones that, are in that way. But they're, of course, those are Target exclusives as well. One of them is. It looks like Target or GameStop. I can't tell from that sticker. But the lighter brown werewolf is an exclusive. The darker one is the regular one. And then we also got pops for Pan's Labyrinth. So for the classic
Guillermo
del Toro. So we got Fano, we got the Pale Man, which is super creepy as a pop, even more so than he normally is. Those two will be out probably sometime in August. So that's some interesting stuff. And the Mattel keeps knocking it out of the park, man. Earlier they showed off, and I know Pixel Dan's reviewed it because he's already got one, the Imaginex Slime Pit.
Oh, yeah.
For the DC superheroes, which is kind of cool because it's the master slime pit scaled down and changed a little bit. Well, now Mattel's keeping playsets alive with the introduction of the Jurassic World Slime Lava Surge playset, which includes a Baryonyx dinosaur, as well as a bunker playset and a 4-ounce of oozing orange slime to create apparently a key scene from the film. So the slime can be poured over the top to mimic... lava dripping into the bunker and the breakaway walls allow humans to escape the lava and dinosaur attack. So It's kind of neat. It's kind of cool that, and it looks to me like that place that connects to something. Does it look like that to you?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, I think this, is this the first 4-inch playset for that line that they've shown off?
That I'm aware of, yeah.
My guess is there's
done a bunch of vehicles.
My guess is there's a bigger part of the playset coming, or there's more parts to it.
Could be.
That would all connect, because yeah, that is very much a connecting piece on the end of that playset. But yeah, that should be hitting later this month as people start getting more Jurassic World stuff in and they start refilling shelves. But it looks neat. I mean, God bless them for keeping slime pits alive. Is that something you'll buy because of the dinosaur?
I already got the dinosaur.
You already got the dinosaur?
Yeah, it's a different color than the Baryonyx that they released individually.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But it's the same toy.
It's kind of neat, though. I like it. I mean, yeah. It's funny to think that Mattel is the company keeping 4-inch playsets alive.
Mind-boggling. This whole line has just been like a time warp.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I mean, I get the people are a little disappointed with the figures, but I mean, Jesus, it's such a good line.
Yeah. It's nuts. Oh, apparently Danny's quoted on the back of that Ninja Turtle box from
of
NECA.
Of course he is.
Well, Danny and WWE superstar Zack Ryder, so their rivalry can continue, apparently. Okay. Earlier this morning as we're recording this, I follow both of them on Instagram, of course, Danny being a friend and Zack Ryder because, well, he's a toy guy, but he's a WWE guy. And they've had this friendly rivalry on Twitter. Well, I wouldn't say they're friends, but they're acquaintances. Like, they've been introduced. They know each other. They talk every once in a while. And apparently, Zack Ryder always jokes that he's coming for Danny's mantle as the top toy reviewer on YouTube. Right. And Danny's like, all right, come at me, bro. But earlier today, Ryder tweeted a picture of his Turtles display with those Turtles in it. And he's like, ha, first, beat that, Pixel Dan. And Dan's like, grr. So apparently, he got one that... Danny apparently is quoted on the back, never has there been a better set of action figures based on the original TMNT motion picture. And these are quotes from the 1/4 scale figures. Okay. They're not quotes on these, but they're...
Well, I mean, it could have been, because I'm sure Danny saw them at Toy Fair.
Oh, he probably did. He's going to do a live unboxing, so that'll be online. But I pulled up Facebook to get our fan questions, and that's the first thing that pops up is Danny's post. I'm like, well,
of course it is.
I'll talk about that. Dude.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I guess we'll talk about it. I know somebody brought it up in fan questions, which we'll discuss.
Oh,
too.
Then let's get into the fan questions.
Not this, but talking about negativity.
For fudge's sake.
Talking about the negative stories.
Well, we could connect them.
We can. Which I can do here. Let me... Yeah. Bring up another tab, another Facebook. Your girlfriend posting these medical videos. Some of them are disturbing.
Well, then don't watch them.
I can't help it.
Believe
though.
Me, don't watch them. She
so
has
today
a thing for like horrible.
Okay. I know. She has a thing for horrible. Yeah, I know.
Horrible oozing thing.
I like to watch pimples get popped, but that was was a little much for me. The earlobe thing was a little much. So our buddy Andy Tolch.
Yeah.
Andy's Toys. Apparently got a pony in, and he didn't know what it was. And Jeff May said, ask the Brony Jason of all. And I named it. I'm like, it's Twinkle Eyes, Ponies, Bright Eyes. And he goes, really? Or are you just pulling my hoof? And then he goes, no, I see it's true. Thanks, Jason. I was like, never question my pony knowledge, kind sir. Or we shall be dueling at dawn. Don't question my pony knowledge on vintage ponies. I know what the hell I'm talking about.
Hey, to connect both your mention of my girl.
Yes.
And your sad obsession with girl toys.
Oh.
Do you need a grumpy Care Bear?
I have Grumpy.
You have Grumpy?
I have Grumpy.
Okay.
Sadly.
I'm so sorry.
And I don't think that's vintage.
Okay. Well, I think it is. I don't know why she would buy a new one.
Let me see the picture again. Let me see it.
She's not the kind of person who bought a lot of Care Bears.
No, it's a newer one. That tummy symbol is way too damn big and way too damn stylized.
Right.
Nope, I got a vintage Grumpy. But tell her thank you anyway. Thank you anyway.
I don't know why she has a new Care Bear, but okay.
You know, it's weird. I've seen a lot of newer Care Bears show up places that people think are vintage, and I'm like, no, that's a newer one. Well, let's talk about fan questions here.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Joe Santana says, big fan of the show, been listening since the beginning. What I'd like to know is what happened to Moments with Puppet Duvall.
You know, I don't know. I mean, we had a couple ideas. We never got around to filming them.
We never got around to filming.
Right now, I'm crippled.
Right now, Dave is in a lot of pain, sadly. Yeah. Being scrunched up under a table or on the floor with Puppet Duvall is probably not the best for Dave. Although technically we could just film it two different ways. I could work the puppet, Dave could dub it, but
I had a fairly recent idea for it with Dave,
and then life happened.
That's the other thing is we haven't been doing a lot of filming in general.
No, like I think for me, and I know you and I have been discussing this privately for a while.
Yeah.
Just the fact that I am personally doing the toy videos that we've been doing is not fun for me anymore.
Yeah.
And that has a lot to do with the fact that I just don't care about new toys anymore. Even though we still talk about them on the show and I think they're cool, I get tired of reviewing new toys because there's so many people out there that do it better. And that's not a knock against us because we have a distinct voice and we have fans that like our reviews. I just personally am sick of talking about new toys to a degree.
Well, and I've always kind of, like, I think reviewing new toys is always kind of a weird, you're going to buy it or you're not.
Right.
Like, unless there's something, like, really epically wrong with it. I mean, you know, I do like talking about stuff like boss fight stuff because I love, you know, like, boss fight, like, I Am Elemental, plugging stuff that maybe some of the fans haven't heard of or don't know about.
Right.
Or maybe didn't, you know, like, consider the first time around, because I think those are great companies.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, when I get those weird Hong Kong zombie ones, we'll probably film something.
Oh, you know, we'll film some of those. Those are amazing.
Yeah. But, I mean, just like your standard Hasbro Marvel Legend, you know what it is. You know what you're getting.
And we've never been in competition with any other toy reviewer. I mean, as evidenced by our friendship with Danny and the fact that I allow him a lot of times to pimp his work on the page. I allow other reviewers to come onto the fan group and pimp the reviews. I'm not in competition with anyone. I don't want to get into that rut where I'm like, we got to be first. We're last, you know.
Yeah, we're not going to be first.
We're never going to be first. So it doesn't matter. And it's never mattered. But I've been struggling to find the spark that made me want to do all this in the first place. And that is part of the reason why there haven't been any new videos. There hasn't been any new...
Well, I mean, if you're burned out on new toys, you need to find just that. You need to do the show we've been talking about for 8 years.
I agree. I just and part of it is
you need Dave to take and the other thing is you need to take the energy that you pour into board, and you need to do that for this other show, and because Danny is like a wild horse.
I know he is. He cannot be
tamed. You have to let him go.
He must.
He is over the horizon. He is like Board may be done.
I don't think it's done. I think Board is going to come back.
Okay.
In some form or another.
I'm not saying that I want that or that I'm happy about it. I'm just saying, like,
and I'll be honest.
We built a show around a guy that became a little beyond our capacity to use.
And I'll be honest, I've approached Danny with that a couple times now and said, If you're ready to let Board go, I understand that. You know, I've told him privately that, you know, we went into this partnership knowing full well that one day there was going to come a time where Board was not a priority for you, and it's just not, and it was not going to be a priority for you. I'm like, and I don't hold that against you. I would never be like, you son of a bitch or anything like that. I fully understand because that's what we walked into knowing. But Danny has assured me, he's like, I am not ready to give up a board yet, because I think Danny really likes to do that show, because for him, he doesn't have to do anything but show up and perform.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to have the pressure of editing and filming and all that stuff. He leaves it all up to me, and he just comes and has fun. And I think that's his outlet. But he's been so busy. He's got a super secret project he's been working on for months now.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. That hopefully he'll be able to announce soon to the world, that has sucked up every weekend just about, that he's flying somewhere different. And, you know, it's just... Board will be back one way or another, one shape or form or another.
Well, point being, though, you generally invest that with a lot of energy and a lot of excitement. I think you need to take that and
I'd
find another project that doesn't... I love the guy, but that doesn't rely on Dan.
I agree. And it's been... I told you in a text that it's been a lot of soul searching to figure out what exactly... Where do I go? Where do we go from here? Like, the podcast is never going away. unless Dave and I are just like, okay, we've done everything that we could possibly do. Like,
well, I mean, it's just we're us, recording it's just on us one yammering of our about beds. Stuff that we like.
Yeah,
you know, that's whatever.
I think, you know, once Dave's life becomes a little less hectic and his body heals up a little bit,
yeah,
we'll get back to filming some puppet stuff and whatnot. I have some ideas I want to do with puppet. You know, we have the ideas, they're there. It's just a matter of, you know, the star being healthy enough to perform.
Well, there's that. There, you know, it's like my life kind of took a big...
You had a big hiccup by going, I'm getting a puppy. And you're like, oh my God, what have I done?
And then I injured myself horribly at the same time.
Yes, yes.
And you've got a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes too.
Yeah.
So it's we mean to get on back on track, but you know, life keeps happening.
Yeah, life keeps happening. Don't worry, that the channel's not going away. We're sticking around. It's just a matter of finding that groove again, which is probably best to take a break from video stuff for a while.
That's what I advised you in private, was just take a break.
Yeah,
you know, don't want, because but I mean, like be okay with not, because you know, you're kind of like, hi, you know, we're not doing videos. No, no, no. It's like, give yourself permission to not do videos,
right,
until you kind of figure out what you want to do,
right?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you gotta take the pressure off.
I agree.
That's what my chiropractor says.
Yeah. John Solo says, do you guys feel that negativity for geek-related properties is something you feel you have to comment on, or do you foresee getting to a place where you expect that all things, no matter how beloved, will get some level of haters, so it's not even worth mentioning? Well, I mean, we've mentioned a lot of geek-related properties and the negativity, because that's what's been in the headlines for us on Facebook and stuff, was a lot of this craziness happening, and I just feel that it needs to be addressed in some way, shape, or form in the show, because
we love geek culture, we're a part of geek culture,
yes,
and there is this weird toxicity. People were
rooting
for the Solo movie to fail.
Yes,
like they were eager for it to flop.
Solo is going to break even. Like, it's not going to make a ton of money. It's going to break even. So Disney has estimated they're probably going to lose about $50 million, which, honestly, it sounds like a huge chunk of change, but for a studio, that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
They'll rebound with that with the rest of their films coming out this year.
And, you know, honestly, here's the thing. My spin on that, and I'm not normally an optimistic person, is, A, I like the movie, so I got to watch a movie I enjoyed.
As do I.
And B, maybe it will knock into their heads that they need to move off the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And do something new.
Now, I will give you this. The domestic take has been $151 million, which...
I wish I failed like that.
Yeah. The foreign takes is getting higher. It's at $115 million.
Because it didn't even open in most markets
yet. Yeah, it didn't open in every... But now it's open in...
Okay, now it's going to open.
China did $14 million, which is a lot of money in China for a Star Wars
film. Yes, the Chinese don't like Star Wars.
But, I mean, it's making money overseas.
It'll be fine.
It's going to be fine. It's not... It didn't open in China until June 3rd. So, I mean, you know...
So all those people saying it failed in China, it wasn't even playing yet.
Yeah.
Like, this is the thing. Is people have the long knives out for these movies all of a sudden. Well, and it's not just Star Wars. I mean, people were griping about frickin' Avengers.
Yeah.
There's just this weird, scary toxicity that people just want to hate and be angry and be negative about stuff. And, you know, the one thing we were going to talk about earlier is that the woman who plays Rose Tico...
Kelly Marie Tran.
Has gone off of social media.
She's deleted her Instagram and Twitter after months of harassment. Here is an actress who is adorable in every sense of the word. If you ever looked at her Instagram or her Twitter feed before she deleted it, her posts were super, super amazing and super fun. Like, she was just this adorable actress. She was cute, she was geeky. She got to be a part of a film, the series that she'd always loved and always wanted to be a part of.
Yeah.
She got to play a character that they had hoped, you know, would be a strong female role model for Asian Americans and Asians in general. And suddenly she's attacked by you know, she had just joined Instagram in the run up to Last Jedi,
I have literally seen videos on my Facebook feed about how basically The Last Jedi sucks because women. And you're like, what?
Yeah, it's like, what's happening?
Like, that's crazy. Just, You know, and I freely admit that Last Jedi had problems, and I honestly, Rose's storyline was not the strongest part of that movie.
Yeah.
But, like, to hate on her personally?
Yeah, and to attack her, and I think she's still...
I freaking hated the Ghostbusters reboot, but I would never have, like, jumped onto Leslie Jones' Twitter feed and attacked her.
God, no.
Like, just, if you don't like it, don't like it. You don't have to, like, make it your personal... If you hate the new movies, just go back and watch the old ones, and you'll be fine. I don't understand. It's like, I think somehow trolling has metastasized into just people enjoy being mean and being dicks and hating on things and just smearing. It's like, remember History of the World Part 1?
Yes.
The caveman who does a cave painting, and then the first critic comes along and pees on it?
Yes.
It's like we have millions of those guys now
who
just want to pee on everything. And that's all they want to do, probably because they can't create.
I find this tweet interesting, and this is very interesting. But somebody tweeted, "I love Star Wars, but F the fans. This is the fan base that drove Jake Lloyd insane," which is true.
We don't know that. There's always a genetic component.
Made Hayden Christensen quit acting. True.
That's probably true.
Made George Lucas not want to make any more movies.
True.
Made Daisy Ridley delete her Instagram. True.
Okay.
And recently made Kelly Marie Tran leave Instagram. I agree with Dave. It's...
First of all, I don't think those people are fans. I'm sorry. Like, you can dislike something in a franchise. There's a difference between somebody disliking something in a franchise and declaring war. And I understand fan is short for fanatic and da-da-da-da. I don't think these people are fans. I think they're just a-holes.
I think so. I see a lot of... I see a lot of posts still on Facebook of people that just despise The Last Jedi. And again, I had a conversation with somebody at work today about something like, about comedies, how comedies are very subjective. Like, you either love them or you hate them. Comedy has always been built around being a subjective entertainment form. Like, some stuff's either funny to you or it's not. It's funny to others.
Yeah, you and I actually
not.
Have very different senses of humor.
Yes.
There's some things that we like. There's it's like a Venn diagram. There's a middle part.
Yeah.
But then you like kind of...
I like goofy...
You like goofy...
Slapsticky...
Yeah.
Blazing
and
Saddles, Broken Lizard.
And I like kind of Frasier and Monty Python.
Monty Python, yeah.
And, you know.
There is... And again, it's subjective. I don't... We're not like, you should like this. It's funny because we're best friends. No. I had a conversation. One of the guys at work has never seen Super Troopers. And I just kind of laughed. And I was like, how have you never seen Super Troopers? That movie's like 10 years old. How have you never seen Super Troopers? But I was like, but the other kid that's training with us, he's like, I hate that movie. And I was like, see, that's just it. I'm like, comedy is subjective. Like, you love it or you hate it. You don't like Super Troopers. I love it. I think it's hysterical. I think it's a funny film. But I'm like, that's my sense of humor. It's kind of potty mouth, kind of foul mouth, potty style, kind of humor. Like, yeah. I love Animal House. I think it's a hysterical film.
I like Animal House.
People despise that movie because they hate
who?
It. Yeah. You'd be surprised.
Who? Okay. The educational system has officially failed the younger generation.
But I think film in general... I think it's subjective. It's just like anything. Any art form is subjective. You either love it or hate it. Like, okay.
You don't either love it or hate it, but I mean...
You either like it or dislike it.
You have a subjective response to it.
Yes.
Which is yours and yours alone.
But the people and the venom that I see spewed at Last Jedi, still to this day after, it's been out of theaters and been on home video now for a while. It's just like... How are you people still...
I was telling you, there's...
Have you not moved on yet? Why are you still on this kick of, Disney has destroyed Star Wars, I'll never give Disney another dime of my money, The Last Jedi was a horrible film.
Okay, then
it was a displeasure to the...
Okay, I'm sorry you feel that way.
To the fans.
I'm sorry you feel that way. Goodbye.
My problem is...
Goodbye.
Is the group of fans that are doing this kind of stuff to Kelly Marie Tran, and Daisy Ridley, and Leslie Jones, and stuff like that, yes, those people need to be dealt with. They are awful, horrible people. They are a part of the internet that the company needs to deal with pretty much immediately. Like, these companies need to basically go, look, we're not going to tolerate this shit. Then fine, if you don't want to see our movie, don't see our movie. But on the other side of that, you also have these groups of fans who feel that these companies owe them something, and that these properties belong to them, and they should be serviced, and they should get what they want because they feel that, oh, I've been a lifelong fan. You deserve this to me. Don't do me wrong like this. You know, Luke Skywalker deserved better because I said so. No, you don't own that property. These companies own that property, and they're going to do whatever the hell they want to do, period, whether you like it or not.
I can't remember what you're saying. Here's the thing. Here's my take on this.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. They're jerks, honey.
Puppy dog.
Yes, we don't like them. No, but you do not have... I bow down to no one in terms of the amount of money, time, mental energy I've spent on Star Wars.
Right.
They don't owe me anything.
No.
They don't. I spent all that willingly on my own. I don't own it. I get a little feisty about I own the stuff. So if I want to take pictures of it and do stuff with it, I think I have a right to that. And
yes.
There were legal precedents about that.
Yeah.
But I don't own Star Wars. If they make a, you know, if it's like with Marvel right now, like Marvel Comics, they're not putting out a product that I'm particularly interested in or enjoy. You have the right to tell them that. I'm sorry, I do not enjoy the product you are making right now. And then you have the right not to spend your money on
Correct.
That product. That's your right.
Right.
And if they continue to make product that you don't support, if there's not a market for it, then they go out of business. If there's a market for it, then you just find something else. Deal with
it. And I think a portion of the Star Wars fans, even though they're hating on Solo, chose to talk with their wallets and their money.
There was a boycott. There was like a supposedly an organized boycott of that movie.
Right.
Which I don't...
I don't get, but more power to you. If that's how you want to roll things and you want to prove to them that we're not going to take what you're giving us, we want something different, then that's great. I think... I saw somebody try to explain to someone who hated on The Last Jedi saying it was a horrible film. It's like, no, it's got its problems, but it's not a terrible movie. Like, that whole movie is about letting go of the past and learning change.
It's about failing.
And then the redemption of that is Luke Skywalker realizing the whole film he's trying to forget the past and realizing that it's the past that needs to continue on to help the future. Like, they can't forget about the past to save the future.
Yeah, that was actually my whole thesis.
Yes.
Was it was about the balance between the past and the future. And Luke was trying to forget the past, and Kylo Ren was kind of like trying to obliterate the future. I don't know. There was something like, but you know, because Kylo was trying to obliterate the past too.
Yes.
You know, get rid of the Sith, get rid of the Jedi, be a whole new thing. And I don't even know where we were going with this.
It's just the whole concept of.
I don't.
This like, venomous hatred, and it's not just Star Wars. We're using Star Wars because it's what's
currently in the big target right now.
It's currently the big target right now. But this is everything. This is Joe. This is Transformers. This is Masters. I mean,
we've been talking since that new smell days or whatever the podcast was back then about how Masters fans were never happy.
Yeah, they were never happy, never excited.
And to this day, they are not happy.
Even though they're still getting product.
Yeah, you're getting product as opposed to G.I. Joe.
It's amazing that...
I don't know. It's just like we've just... There's just this huge pool of negativity and toxicity out there.
Yes.
And like I said, man, I just wanted a fun zap space... Like, there was... Except for one twist at the very, very end, there was nothing that happened in the Solo movie that didn't... That surprised me.
Yeah. Somebody saved some Instagram photos from Kelly Marie Tran before she deleted them. But it's like, they're just adorable. She's just adorable, like... It's her with the giant Sully and Mike Wazowski from Monsters University, like the big standee, like the big theater standees, and she's just adorable with her little Monsters Inc. shirt on, and she's walking around with a Pokemon backpack, and for the love of God, she dressed up as a friggin' porg.
Come on,
we don't deserve Kelly Marie Tran, like, and she didn't deserve this venomous hatred that forced her to delete her Instagram completely.
Here's the thing, I don't. I think the character was not necessarily the greatest. The story arc was obviously the weakest part of the film. She did a fine job in the role. She was not a bad actress. It was just that story arc was a little too on the nose and a little too kind of. But she was fine. I don't know why they're taking out all their hatred on her.
I don't know.
Maybe it's because Laura Dern can fight back, I guess. Because I know they really hate Laura Dern, too.
Yeah.
Because she was a woman who was in charge of the Resistance who wasn't Princess Leia. Argle, argle, purple hair. Argle, argle, we're angry.
Yeah, I was hoping to find Twitter, like a Twitter of somebody supporting the treatment of her, but I found nothing. It's all lovely support.
Can you imagine? Like you know me. Imagine if I got if I got to be part of Star Wars and like everybody shit on me.
Yeah, that's
I'd be broken, man.
Here's another one, kind of like the first one I read. Kathleen Kennedy has her legacy question, which for the love of God, I get it. People are mad at Kathleen Kennedy and Disney, but how do you question the legacy of Kathleen Kennedy? She has been a part of some of the largest films of all time as a producer with Steven Spielberg for decades. Colin Trevorrow's talents ignored. And
You see Jurassic World? Because I saw Jurassic World.
Yeah. Rian Johnson gets death threats. That's screwed up.
That is totally screwed up.
George Lucas, Jake Lloyd, Ahmed Best, and Ashley Eccleston get harassed for years.
Ashley Eccleston?
Yeah.
Why are you going after Ahsoka?
Yeah, I don't know.
What is wrong with you people?
I don't know, man. That's what I'm talking about, is people...
Ahsoka? What did she do?
This kind of stuff is why I will always talk about the stories of negativity in geek-related properties to show you can't do this kind of stuff.
Well, apparently you can.
You can love a fandom and you can embrace it, but for the love of God, you have no ownership over that fandom. You don't own that property. You can't demand its creators and its stars to change the films or change what they're doing to please you and a small army of percentage of people who only want to be serviced to what they want.
You do it with your wallet.
You do it with your wallet, but you can't do send death threats. You can't
be
assholes. I mean, for the love of God, social media is without a doubt. And of course, here we are recording a podcast that's broadcast over social media outlets and stuff. But social media is one of the worst things that have ever happened to the society. Because before, yes, these trolls existed before the internet and before social media. The problem is that social media gave them an uninhibited voice that they can just scream to the world and have no consequences to their actions.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I think it's that, and I think it's also, like, you know, maybe you're a little bit of a malcontent, and then suddenly there's another malcontent, and, like, you're malcontents together, and it becomes a snowball effect.
Yeah.
Like, we all hate Star Wars.
I mean, you look at, I go back to Danny, he had one of his fans attack another, like, not he had, but one of his fans... somebody who watches his programs and is a fan of his attacked another reviewer for being trying to be a Pixel Dan wannabe and basically told him to fucking die. And it's like, I mean, even Danny gets this shit. He's like, you guys can't do this. Don't do this. I don't condone this. Don't.
Yeah, and Danny's the most positive human being maybe not the most positive human being I've ever met, but definitely top five positive human beings I've ever met.
I mean, it takes a lot to bum Danny out and seeing fans attack other reviewers in his name.
Well, what
is
I mean
really...
is he's all about positivity.
Like, and it's and inclusion.
Yeah, and it's weird that there would be someone would consider themselves a fan of his who wouldn't carry that
vibe. Yeah, I didn't understand it. So, yeah, John, that's why it will always continue to be worth noting until those of us with positivity can change the world for the better. Yes, Dave and I are sometimes grumpy old men, but I would never, ever attack an actress or a company or a property because they've done something I don't approve of.
Okay.
I just won't watch it.
I have made jokes about Jake Lloyd. I will say that.
Well,
have made jokes, but like I didn't realize that drove him insane, to be fair.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you live and learn.
Robert Hardefield says, what kinds of toy lines would you like to see in retail stores?
Any.
At this point, Robert, we'll be lucky to get a lot of stuff this Christmas that we would have seen that you wouldn't have seen in Target or Walmart because Toys R Us is in existence. With Toys R Us gone by the time this Christmas season rolls around and KB, which we'll get a question about KB coming up soon. If KB does well and does happen to open up, you'll see a lot more brands on the shelves, I think. To a degree, but at this point, we can only hope that toy lines continue for those of you who's buying new toys still, that it continues down the road without Toys R Us here to help bolster the aisle retail space for new toys and toy lines and for companies to take chances. And
I hope that they take heart from the Jurassic World toy line. That seems to be a huge success.
Yes.
And that becomes, you know, that they follow that archetype. You know, I'm pretty sure, like, with Solo, I'm pretty sure we've the second wave of figures is out. I think that's it. It was one new figure.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure we're not going to get a third wave.
Probably not.
It's like, ugh.
Which is sad.
Which sucks.
Our friend Jason Metzger says, hey, guys, if you could jump back to any time, what toy line would you run out and buy and hold on to? I would say Star Wars.
Really?
I would. Just because Star Wars holds some of the largest value, but I would also,
In the words of Princess Leia, if money is all that you love, then that is what you will receive.
I would run out and buy boxed and packaged Power Lord stuff. I would get a lot of the lines
You had one.
Yeah, well, too bad I'm going more than one. But Star Wars, I would say Star Wars just because knowing full well that, you know, meant box samples and stuff. I would buy up every vinyl Cape Jawa I could find.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would, the same answer, except for less...
egotistical and money-driven reasons.
Money-driven reasons, yeah.
Yes. And then he also says, thanks for all the great work you do, both, and his daughter says hi to the puppet.
Oh.
Yeah. Hello, Rosie.
Yay.
Rosie, 9mm.
Yay, the puppet
says hi. Get in the hell, kiddo.
Wow, puppet, that's strong words.
Yes, yes.
Yes. We have to talk about your violence issues sometimes.
I will beat you with those cheese.
You realize I can hold you down with one hand, right? Yeah, that's what I thought. Chris Fernandez says, hi, huge fan since the days of That New Toy Small. Thank you very much, sir. I've been following you guys for years. Like to know when is moments when Puppet Duvall is coming back.
On the advice of our lawyers, we have never heard of a thing called a Muppet or a thing called a Jim Henson.
We did. We talked about moments earlier. So soon-ish.
Hopefully soon-ish.
And would you two like to see G.I. Joe's and other famed 80 toy lines back on the shelves? I think mostly we've gotten a lot of other 80s toy lines back on shelves. We'll get a new Masters toy line eventually when the movie happens, if it happens for real.
We'll see that damn Mask movie before we see Masters.
Yeah, let's see what happens when Thundercats Roar comes on, what kind of toys we'll get with
barf.
That.
You'll get ugly, because they have, as much as I hate Teen Titans Go, man, they've got like the merch.
Yeah, they do. I think a lot of fans would just like to see Joe's back on shelves in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to have to be something new, though. I think it's time to let go of the 80s 4-inch line and just come up with some new concept for G.I. Joe.
I agree. Goes on to ask what we think about KB Toys coming back.
Believe it when I see it?
Yeah, with it being pop-up stores, I'll believe it as... I won't believe it until we get closer and they actually announce a list of opening locations. Because it will be in malls throughout the country. They will only be Christmas pop-up stores, so they're only going to be very limited in their selection.
To be fair, our mall is going to have a lot of space.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
Because we got a Sears and a Bergner's.
Yeah. And he goes on to ask, do you guys know whatever happened to Sween Halleck?
I don't know.
I asked. I asked some people that knew him best. And one of them, of course, being Pixel Dan. I asked Annie. I said, somebody asked... on fan questions this week, what happened to Sween Halleck? And he goes, he responded to me with this. I think he just decided to step away from YouTube and social media. I still hear from him over email, but he hasn't been on social in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
So Sween's still alive. He's still well. He just decided to step away from all of it.
Considering that we just had like this huge rant about it, he might be the smart one.
Yeah, he's the smart one. Our buddy Josh Flood just... responded with Floorburger here.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks, Josh.
My guess is he was trying to put a placeholder in for an actual question.
And he never got back around to it.
He never got around to it.
Andrew Osborne said, hey, fellas, first time, long time. Was curious, how does somebody reach out to inquire about being a sponsor for the show?
Talk to Jason.
Just talk to me in private, and I'll figure something out.
Talk to me. Send me the check. Yes. Send David the money.
Stop it.
Mr. I'm buying Star Wars because it keeps its value.
Also, if you were to sell, if you were an action figure of yourself in your own collection, which shelf would be home? Which shelf would you like to hang out on? And which shelf is nothing but riffraff and you avoid like the plague? My home shelf would be my My Little Pony collection because I could ride the ponies all day and have fun. The shelf I would hang out on is the shelf with Mickey, Milky the Magical Milking Cow. And the shelf that would be nothing but riffraff to me would probably be the Last Action Hero shelf. Just because the butcher guy scares the hell out of me.
You know, I think home and hangout would be the same one, which would be Star Wars.
Right, right.
I don't know what the
riff... I always feel like Masters of the Universe would be the riffraff to you.
No, it wouldn't be riffraff. I don't know what the riffraff would be. Maybe the weird Glios shelf.
Yeah.
You're kind like, of what? Oddball.
Hey, look at all the Power Lords. All these people connect in weird ways. I don't like it.
Yeah.
My limbs stay on. Why are yours coming off? It's weird. Then Andrew goes on to say, sincerely, fan number 10 of the 10s and 10. Yay.
Yay.
Oh, my goodness. Well, gang, that's about wraps it up for the show this week.
Yeah, we need to get some oil on the dog because she's squeaking.
Oh, my God, she's squeaking back. She's so mad. And for those of you wondering, she's in a kennel right next to us. And some people will be like, that's mean you kennel her. Well, if we don't, she chews on power cords. Yeah. And she likes to try to eat them. And that's just a hassle and a sudden death neither Dave or I want on our hands.
Yeah, no, she's fine.
Yeah, so
she sounds like she's dying, but yeah, she's fine.
She's just a whiny little slippery butthole.
Yes.
She just shows, yeah, Dad's going to let her out as soon as we're done recording.
Pretty much.
But, gang, make sure you check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/ToyWorldOrder, as well as youtube.com/BoardTheShow. Check out ToyWorldOrder.com for all the past podcasts, as iTunes and Stitcher does not hold the entire library, but you can find the entire library on ToyWorldOrder.com. 8+ years of podcasts is a lot of stuff to listen to. So, yeah, we've done a lot. And, gang, until next week, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
And the Toy Bar Pete's is closed. Peace and whiny out.